Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. And always excited to have Lisa Gibbons back on the show. We had such a fantastic conversation last time. She's promoting a big event coming up, a webinar. So I thought, hey, let's go and talk to Lisa and see how she's doing. So Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing really great. I had a nice time talking to you before as well, so thanks for having me back on.
Well, absolutely, and as we know, all our times are moving and shaking. You got a lot of things going on, especially the success of the book. Now New York Times bestselling author. I forgot to add that to your title in many, many ways, but really what's making you excited about is tomorrow, especially it'll air on all the syndication tomorrow, promoting, I guess, that day. So tell us a little bit about the webinar.
I've been really blessed to be part of a project called Conversations in Caregiving. And we've been doing these webinars that are open to anybody. They're free events that happen online. You just sign up and actually participate at alzheimersdisease.com. And they're designed really to help answer your questions, give you support, give you access to experts and people who can help you navigate a really difficult time. You know, if you love someone who has Alzheimer's disease, if you are someone who has questions about it, if you're kind of struggling with, is this dementia, is it Alzheimer's, I'm worried about myself or someone in my family, this is the place that you want to be. And the great thing is you can enter your questions and we'll get them answered to the best that we can. You can also just go on the site and see the previous Conversations in Caregiving. We've done a couple of these before. You can go back and watch those. And this one will also be live and also be archived at the site. It's just a great place to offer strength and support for people who are dealing with this thief of memories. And I know that's millions and millions of people.
Oh, absolutely. And doing this, you really see specifically what your organization and the organizations you're teaming up with have been able to help families through these hard times, right? And having this opportunity to be able to ask questions and learn more is so important, isn't it?
Well, this is all for family caregivers. You know, these are the people that I call the family first responders. You know, these are the husbands and the wives and the sons and the daughters, and in many cases, the friends who are showing up every day for duty. And sometimes it's pretty tough duty, and it can be isolating, and it can be sometimes really difficult because it's, you know, when someone has Alzheimer's, they can't always tell you that you're making it better. They can't always tell you what's wrong. So for caregivers, sometimes it can be like wandering through a bit of a maze. And it really does help to reach out and hold hands with others who've walked the path before. But it's funny, Neil, because our first instinct, mine was, when my mom first got diagnosed, and my mom and my grandmom both died of this disease, and I did what I think most people do. I denied. I was like, you know what? Mom's too strong. She's my rock. She's my anchor. Maybe she's just drinking too much. You know, maybe she's just repeating herself because she's bored. I just pulled the covers up over my head and didn't want to see it. And that's normal because, you get kind of numb not wanting to look at the painful reality. But the real deal is the sooner you can name it and claim it, the more powerful you're going to be.
Absolutely. And getting them through this maze is so difficult because could you imagine your loved one forgetting everything of the memories? It's so painful. And in a way, you have to kind of really let that person who's suffering not know that you're so hurt by it because it'll become worse and worse in the relationship and how to take care of them to remember that those memories are lost in ways and that ways to remind them even for a second is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, that's part of what we're going to talk about at the live event, which again is happening on Tuesday at 8:00 Eastern time. And you can just you know, you could sign up right now at alzheimersdisease.com. You can join us at any time. You can go to the site at any time. It's just a free supportive site offering, so, you know, empowering educational services for caregivers. That's what we're for. But at the webinar, you're exactly right. What we'll be talking about is, you know, things to do to redirect behaviors, activities, ways to manage behaviors. One of our experts will be Dr. Gary Small, who's one of the authorities and professors at UCLA, and he's a well-known leader in this field. And he's going to offer some of the insights that he has and things that have been proven to work well. Because, you know, families need, you know, we don't have time. We don't have, we run out of patience. We run out of time. We run out of money. I always say this disease bankrupts spiritually and emotionally and financially. And, you know, you get to the end of your rope and then you're expected to keep hanging on. Well, you know, you can only tie a knot and hang on for so long by yourself. You know, you need somebody to be in the life raft with you. And so that's what my, as you know, because we've talked about it before, you and I, that's what my work has been all about with our nonprofit at Lisa's Care Connection. You know, that's what we've tried to do is help encourage families, you know, give them ways to summon their strength and to call on their courage so they can be empowered in this journey and not be overwhelmed by it. It's very easy just to say, okay, this is not the life I ordered. This is not what I thought was going to happen in my happily ever after. And it's easy to get resentful. It's understandable that you're going to be angry about that. But as soon as you can say, okay, I'm going to walk off this stage and I'm going to embrace and try. I can't rewrite the beginning, but I can say, what, you know, what can I do right now to hit the reset button? And how can I reframe this experience to make it as good as I can from here on out? You know, what can I do to write this chapter and create a new ending? Because the beginning, I don't get to go back there. Right. I can only start from here.
And how, I'm sure through this webinar, you're going to really kind of explain to families out there how to keep that, I guess, to kind of jog the memory, even though they're losing their memory, to make sure that they're treated well. They're treated with respect. It's not like they're a child. And Lisa, I know you've heard about this all the time where so many caregivers, because they just don't understand what's happening to their mom or their grandmother or their grandfather or their father, how they treat them, they kind of say, oh, well, now I guess they're just a child again. They don't remember things. And that's not the way to treat them, is it?
Well, certainly there's a dignity issue that is, and a respect issue that really does need to be honored. But there's a communication that has changed. And the way to communicate may be foreign to us because it's not necessarily on the same cognitive level that we're used to. But what you're talking about is exactly right. You know, there is dignity that they do get embarrassed. And this, you know, a heart never forgets. And we are, as caregivers, we're responsible for what we bring into the room and what we bring to a relationship. And, you know, and we have to meet our loved one where they are in the disease state because they can't join us in our state. So it's up to us to figure out, okay, how do we understand what they're trying to communicate to us? You know, maybe this means, you know, when they're saying, if they're at an assisted living facility and they're saying, I want to go home, or if they're in your living room and they're saying, I want to go home, and you're saying, but you are home, rather than trying to convince them you're home, Mom, but you're home, trying to figure out, you know, what do you love about your home, Mom? Tell me about home. And if you ask, tell me about home, your mom is probably really trying to say, I want to feel safe, I want to feel loved, I want to feel connected. It doesn't mean anything about wanting to go to a physical place. It may mean that she's feeling scared. So if you can kind of come up with different questions and figure out what they're saying, then you can preserve that dignity and find a way to not speak down and belittle the person. But you're exactly right.
And it's something I noticed from my great-grandmother before, and also my grandmother, that you make the mistake to understand, they don't really get what we're talking about. Well, you don't treat them so with disrespect. You don't treat them like, what are they talking about? Because there are things they still remember. There are things, and again, their short-term memory has not been, am I correct, has not been lost. It's more the long-term memory, correct?
Often that is the case, and, you know, each case will be unique. But we found that some strategies that work, I talk about the power of the white lie. For example, you know, driving is a big thing for many Alzheimer's patients. It represents independence, as it does for all of us. And but it's not safe many times for them to drive when they are disoriented and they can't get behind the wheel. So my mother would say, you know, I want to drive. And we found this to be a big struggle with her. And rather than fight with her about what she could not do, we would give her the keys and we would say, okay, Mom, well, the car's in the garage. And she would go take her purse and, you know, do all of her routine to get into the car, get her routine of getting her hair ready and, you know, everything all packed up to go. And then she would put the key in the ignition and the car wouldn't start because we had disabled the battery. And she would come in and say, something's wrong with the car. And we'd go, oh, you know what, we'll call somebody to come look at it. And then she would forget that the car was broken.
Oh, my goodness.
And the next time she would say, I want to go, I want to drive, we would say, okay, Mom, you can drive. And she would have the same process. So we would never have to tell her she couldn't drive. And it was interesting because the same with, she wanted to smoke cigarettes. And we finally realized we could give her the cigarettes, we just didn't give her a lighter. So she walked around with a cigarette that wasn't lit all day long. She was very happy.
So,
little things that you learn to do to preserve what they want and what you need to do to keep their safety.
So you want to be creative in a lot of ways. And through this process and learning more from experts like yourself that have become through different things, that you got to make sure that it's still a situation. When we deal with our children in certain ways, we don't want to let them down, even if they really don't understand. You think of a 2-3-year-old, 4-year-old, and they throw that temper tantrum. You don't want to belittle them because then they're going to remember that. However, and then they're going to be hurt by this. So you don't want a scene, and you're able to still, she has that idea, she's going to go smoke that cigarette or she's going to jump in that car, and it changes the thought process, so she has thinks she's still in control. Because as my mom talks about all the time with my grandmother, that it, again, being a child, it can become very draining for the caregiver in a way too.
You know, the process of caring creates such compassion fatigue that often it starts the clock on subtracting 10 years from the life of the caregiver. That's how serious it is with the stress. So while you're trying to save the life and add years to the life of your loved one, you can in fact be subtracting years from your life. And that's why I wrote a book called Take Your Oxygen First. And this is the best advice I can give any caregiver, is before you look after anybody else, it's imperative, the most loving thing you can do is to nourish yourself. And, you know, otherwise you are oftentimes failing faster than they are. And that's just the real story.
Wow. It's that makes sense because I guess the caregivers get really drained out as well. I mean, as parents, we all know we get drained. And just imagine if you're older and you're dealing with this kind of stress and it hurts you because the caregiver feels very hurt, right? Oh, Mom doesn't remember.
Well,
go ahead.
Yes. And guilt, you know, guilt is your constant companion. And, you know, when we feel powerless, that's a very difficult place to be. And that's why we come up with these experts that can give you tips and strategies and insights. We have words of wisdom from, you know, real people, you know, just like people listening to us right now, family members who are going through this at AlzheimersDisease.com, who talk about what worked for them. And I loved advice from one woman who mentioned going grocery shopping with her dad who had Alzheimer's disease. And she said that she talked to the store manager. She would get a cart and do her family shopping. She would give her dad a cart. He wanted to be productive. She had a hard time keeping up with him while she had to run the errands. So he had his own list. He would go through and put things in his cart. When they were checking out, the manager knew that the items in dad's cart were not to be checked out. They were going to reshelve those items and restock them. But Dad felt very proud that he had shopped, he contributed to the family, he had participated, and everybody was happy. And I think that's such a lovely, creative way that you can elicit your community. My dad used to take my mother with Alzheimer's out to dinner, and he had a little card that he would give the maitre d' or the hostess or the server that said, please be patient, my wife has a memory problem. And so that when she started acting inappropriately, which she often would, they would understand, and they would just kind of all be in on it together. And those are just little things that, make your life, make you less lonely and give you more of a team approach to managing.
What is your hope from this webinar? What do you want to see people who do go to the website and, register and participate in this learn from? What is your ultimate goal?
I want people to feel that they have techniques, strategies, options, empowered, that they feel like they can do it, that they can not only survive, but they can thrive. You know, that they're going to be okay, that they're not alone, that it may seem so overwhelming and such a difficult burden, that's such a tough hand that they've been dealt. But they get to figure out how to play it, and that we've got people available to help. And that's really all it is. You know, there's something about a community, and that's all this is. AlzheimersDisease.com is just a community by caregivers, for caregivers, about caregivers. There's something about knowing that you belong with other people who really see you, who know what your journey is about, that feels very safe. And that's what I hope. That's my highest hope.
Well, it definitely seems like your highest hope, and I know it's going to be definitely a success for people. And one thing that's so amazing, Lisa, about having a nationally syndicated talk show, especially with the archives that stations keep playing over and over again. If they did miss this webinar, is there going to be an opportunity to re-listen to that again after the event takes place, or are there going to be more opportunities for them to get some of that information?
At any time, if you go to AlzheimersDisease.com, you can find all of our conversations in caregiving archived at the site, and you can participate. Just, it's a free community just to join or just to browse. Just, you know, if you're surfing the web and it's the middle of the night and you're just concerned or worried or lonely or curious, put through to AlzheimersDisease.com and you'll find supportive information. You'll be able to see our archived conversations in caregiving. I just hope it feels like a blanket of support for people.
Well, absolutely, Lisa. And this is one of the things I'm going to call out all my syndicated networks out there to make sure that they feature this as a major feature, because you're taking your time to come out and be on the show and really to promote it themselves on these radio stations and continue to promote your organization and webinars like this one, because I mean, all of us are going to have to deal with this someday. All of us are going to have that that situation where a loved one's going to forget and how hurtful it's going to be. And to learn from these strategies and tidbits and things that your experts are able to bring to the table, and I consider you an expert as well after talking to you two times about what you firsthand have gone through with a family member, that ultimately we all need to check this out and listen more to these strategies. So, Lisa, first of all, again, which website again for that information and to listen
Alzheimer's Disease.com is our website. It's a free website, and our webinar is live at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night Eastern Time.
And also, I wanted to ask Lisa, the success of your book, where can we purchase your book? I'm sure you're excited about that, because it's kind of funny. We thought the second time you come on to talk about your book, but we'll have to set that up for another time. But I'm sure you're extremely excited about the success of your book and being a New York Times bestseller, isn't it? It must be great.
I was so jazzed to make the New York Times bestseller list, and I think it really speaks to the fact that there are a lot of people who want to, need to, or have to reinvent their lives. You know, take two was all about hitting the reset button on your life to create your own happy ending or new beginning. And it was really exciting for me to hear so many stories about how people did it. You know, they got fired and they started over. They got divorced and they were able to reset their lives. You know, they gained weight or they lost confidence, whatever it was, you know, to have that realization that, oh my gosh, I can give myself permission to begin again. And then to hear the stories of rebuilding and coming back stronger and brighter than ever before, it's just really, really the coolest thing. That's why I wrote the book, and that to me is just the most nurturing experience to connect, to be able to connect to yes. people who have found value in that. I mean, I can't even tell you the biggest smile it puts on my face. I've had the best time with it.
Well, absolutely, Lisa, and it must make you really smile because, again, it's going to help so many people and the process of what you'll be able to do. But I know we can find all that information, purchase your book, and learn about all what you're doing with your TV show and all these things at your website. What is your website?
LisaGibbons.com. You can find out about the book there. We now have the book. The audio book is available, so that's interesting. The first time I have done an audio book, because I did the audio version myself, which I really enjoyed. A lot of people asked me for it, so we did that. So it's available for Kindle, for audio download. You can get it at Amazon, Books A Million, and everywhere else. So that's take two.
Okay, fantastic. And you can follow yourself on Twitter as well, and you have a Facebook fan page as well, correct?
I would love it if everybody could become part of our community. I'm at Lisa Gibbons on Twitter. And please do check out my Facebook page and leave me a comment. Tell me you heard the show, and let's connect. That would be absolutely lovely.
Well, fantastic, Lisa. We'll have to have you back on in a quarter to kind of tell us what happened at your last event and help promote your next one. So thanks again for calling.
My pleasure. Always fun to talk to you. I really appreciate the support, too.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Lisa.
Okay, till next time.
All right, take care. Okay. You're listening to Total Education Bye. Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Simply G Radio Show on the Simply G Media Network. Again, you can go to simplyg.com to find out more information on G.J. Reynolds, the Playful and Powerful Warrior, and also simplygmedia.com to listen to all the radio shows, celebrities, and all the different things. And G.J., you know what? He keeps getting better and better and bigger guests, and this guy is one of my favorite all-time greats for sure. So, G.J., how are you? And I know you're excited about this interview.
I'm doing fantastic, Neil. You know, like you keep saying, it keeps getting better and better, and just goes to show how blessed a lives we live. And it's an honor and a pleasure to introduce our guest today. And before I get into the accolades, it's a true story of perseverance and never giving up. And as Coach Dale Brown has taught me, and I know we've shared on the show many, many times, is you never, ever quit. You always persevere. And sometimes right before it's darkest, dawn is right around the corner. And for this gentleman, you know, he persevered. And to give a little bit of backstory, you know, he came out of college. He was an undrafted quarterback, tried out with the Green Bay Packers, and was in the same camp as, you know, Hall of Fame, you know, Brett Favre and some other great players. And didn't make the team, but he was told by Coach Mariucci that he had the ability. He just needed to get a little more seasoned. And he obviously listened to Coach Mariucci, and he went on and got picked up. And, you know, thanks to his lovely wife, Brenda, who helped, you know, was cheering him on. And you know, it's a great story of any great man that I've met, you know, they have a great woman, you know, beside them. And, you know, obviously I have that with my wife, Alita. And, you know, she was definitely in his camp. And so, you know, he went on. And then he had the story of stories that all of us as kids get to dream of. And he made it into the NFL. He became an NFL MVP. He became a Super Bowl MVP. He became a Super Bowl champion. And he's won a lot of awards. And one of the things I was looking at, you know, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, the Bart Starr Man of the Year Award. I mean, those are given to men of character. And so please welcome to the show, Kurt Warner. Thanks a lot for being on the show, Kurt.
You bet. My pleasure. That was a long introduction. I don't deserve that long of an introduction. And by the way, did Steve Mariucci tell you that he said I could play? I think he told me that I couldn't play. So we don't want to give him any leniency whatsoever. That he did cut me. He was the first coach to cut me. So we don't want to give him any flack.
Well, you know what's funny here is that I know you get to work with him, and you can meet him now. Coach Dale Brown cut me when I was a kid, and cut me, and you know, so I still let him know that I said, hey, you cut me. I'm still healing from that. You know, 40 years later.
And here's
what he said. Coach says, he says, after cutting you, I realized I'll never cut any good talent ever again.
All right.
Perfect, Kurt. I know that you're going across the country with this great national education initiative, First and Goal. Can you tell us a little bit about it, Kurt?
I can. You know, ironically enough, you know, about 10 years ago, middle of my career, I went in for my annual physical, and I found out that I had high cholesterol. And I was shocked, you know, good athlete. You know, exercised a lot, good diet, and, you know, I couldn't believe it. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, I can handle this. You know, I'm an athlete, I'm a man, I can go take care of this myself. Changed my diet a little bit, continued to exercise, came back year after year, continued to have high cholesterol, and finally sat down with a doctor and go, what's going on here? I thought diet and exercise, you know, could lower cholesterol. And they told me, well, in some cases it can, but in most cases there's a hereditary factor to it. And so, you know, as much as I worked at it, I couldn't get it down. Sat down with my doctor, developed a game plan with the diet, the exercise, but also adding a statin to the mix so I could really control this. I didn't want it to get out of hand. You got some heart disease in my family. My dad just had heart surgery. So it was something that I wanted to take care of early. And so this campaign, First and Goal, we've designed a website. It's at firstandgoalhearthealth.com. And it's really designed to get people into the game and get people to take control of their heart health. On the website, there's some great, easy steps, achievable steps that everybody can take to really get in the game and get things checked out. And the one thing about cholesterol is you can look in the mirror and you go, man, I'm in pretty good shape. I look pretty good. I'm pretty young. But I'm a perfect example that regardless of all that stuff, you can still have high cholesterol, and it can still be something that can cause issues for you in the long term. And so we're just encouraging people to jump on that website and to really get into the game, get checked out. I mean, how much can it hurt to go get your cholesterol panel taken and see where you're at, and if there's issues, sit down with your doctor and discuss them.
And, Kurt, GJ, who's not right next to me, but is a tremendous. He's 52 years old, by the way, Kurt, and he really takes his health very seriously. And you're in the best shape of your life, right, GJ? And you see how important it is to get checked out by a doctor to find out, are there things going on with you, right, G? You know, because you never know what could happen.
Yes, and you know, I mean, just to give you a little backstory, Kurt, and I'll keep it short. I'm like your intro. you know, I found I was out of shape. I was 1% point from being considered obese, and my wife and Coach Dale Brown actually called me out. And you know, so a little over two years ago, I really got serious, and so I've been on this mission of preaching health and then living by example, and I realized, you know, the more, you know, I'm gonna realize how people give up at certain ages, and I see it, especially around 40, you know, people start saying, hey, look, my best days are behind me, and I'm saying, hey, my best days are ahead of me now, and I'm 52. And I know you're a few years younger than me. I think you're 10 years younger than me. And, you know, you're in that 40, early 40s range. And, you know, a lot of men think, hey, you know, my best days are behind me. And they just tend to let themselves go. And I say, now's the time to step up. And, you know, one thing I learned in doing some research here, you know, there's 71 million Americans are living with high cholesterol. And a lot of them really don't even know that they're living with high cholesterol. So what are some things that you would recommend? I mean, obviously, you know, you were probably getting tested a lot because you're, you know, playing pro ball. What would you recommend to the average person that to do that, you know, what are some of the signs? And if there aren't any of the signs, then, you know, what can some of the steps that they can do?
Yeah, and that's an odd thing, is that there aren't any signs. There isn't anything that really tells you that you have high cholesterol. So really the only thing you can do is go in and get tested. And then once you get tested, then you got to sit down with your doctor and come up with a game plan. You know, like I said, some people, diet and exercise can help them get it down. But for a lot of people, that's not the case. And so for me, it was sitting down with my doctor. And, you know, he put me on a statin. I had some issues with my statin. I had some muscle issues, which is pretty common with some statins. And, you know, I kind of thought, well, they're all the same. And so if I'm having muscle issues with this one, I'll have them with all of them. So kind of kept taking it. And then I sat down with my doctor again, and he kind of laid out some different options for me and said that, you know, they're not all the same. And so right now I'm on my third statin. It's the newest one out there. It's called Livelo. And it's actually metabolized a little different to help you avoid some of those drug-drug interactions. And so I'm on that and having a lot of success with that. And that really becomes the key, is that, you know, there's not necessarily one medication for everybody. Different people are going to react different ways. Different people may be taking different kinds of medications or supplements, different parts of their diet that interact with a certain statin. And so that's what becomes important is once you figure it out, if you do have high cholesterol, you sit down with your doctor, you talk about the options, you talk about the medications you're on, and you set up that game plan like we talked about so you can have that healthy life. Is that I'm the same way. I don't know, maybe my best years are behind me, but in regards to wanting to watch my kids grow up, in regards to being able to run around with my grandkids 20 years from now, 25 years from now, that stuff's important to me. And, you know, I want to take care of things as soon as I possibly can from a health standpoint so that I can do all those things I want to do.
And that's so true. And, Kurt, another thing that I was doing is research as well, and part of your initiative is some people get on medications and then they aren't consistent taking them. They think that they're okay, and then that comes back to haunt you in so many ways. If you don't stay on these medications, if it really truly lowers your cholesterol points, it doesn't start out, Kurt, that you're going to have great success. You have to just continue to stay the course, it sounds like.
Well, that's it. Or if one doesn't work for you, doesn't mean there's no medication that'll work for you. Or if one gives you side effects, doesn't mean they're all going to. And that becomes a big part of the process with, you know, a lot of different drugs, but including these statins is, you know, again, sitting down with your doctor and saying, hey, here's my issues, you know, and if you stop, you know, let him know, hey, I stopped taking this for this reason, because it's just too important. You know, I mean, heart disease is the biggest killer in our country. And so the sooner you can get on top of it and attack the issue, the better. And this is a great, easy website, again, firstandgoalhearthealth.com, that can really make it easy. The steps are easy and tangible for you to just go, hey, okay, call my doctor and set up an appointment, and then you go from there.
Absolutely, GJ. And remember, I was bringing up one of the things you always say, stay the course. And a lot of people don't always follow what the doctor says, and especially when the doctor prescribes medication, GJ, and or any type of prescription to get better and healthy, sometimes people ignore that fact, and that's great that Kurt's educating people like that.
Right. Well, I think, and Kurt sort of alluded in the beginning, you know, he was a pro athlete and he felt like he's in good shape and all, and you know, and like, I don't need to be, you know, I don't need to be worried about my cholesterol, because then all of a sudden you're like, hey, I got high cholesterol. I think that's what a lot of men, that they, the ego kicks in, like, hey, you know, I don't need that, or, you know, I'm okay, or I don't, you know, I'll wait, and then next thing you know, it's too late. So I think this is a great, you know, it's great that you're utilizing your platform, creating that awareness, and, you know, I didn't realize 71 million people, Americans, I mean, that's just 71 million Americans, you know, I don't know how many people worldwide.
Exactly.
And, So you're creating that awareness, and you know, just going in and get tested, and it's simple. You don't have to worry about it. And I know, like, a lot of guys I know, they're afraid of the doctor. I'm like, what are you going to be afraid of?
That's exactly it. And I think using my platform and having been an athlete, and if you looked at me, you'd say, well, I'm not that guy. And I think that's part of it, is a lot of us just kind of think, oh, I'm in good shape, so I don't need to worry about it. I don't want to go to the doctor. I want to avoid it. And I'm just encouraging guys just to get out there and get it checked out. I mean, you know, what can it hurt? You know, all it can do is give you peace of mind one way or another that you're handling your stuff.
We're talking to Kurt Warner, NFL MVP, NFL Super Bowl champion MVP, NFL Network. So that's what I wanted to bring up next, Kurt. How have you liked life after football, especially being with the NFL Network? Have you been enjoying that?
I'm loving retirement. You know, the schedule's good. I love my work on the NFL Network. I'm still staying involved with the game, getting to work with some of the young players. But more importantly, I'm getting to watch my kids grow up. I'm getting to spend a lot of time at home. I'm coaching my boys in football, you know, watching their games, seeing my daughters cheer. And that kind of stuff is priceless, especially as much time as I spent on the field and away from my family when I was, you know, chasing my dream. Now it's nice to be young enough to be able to really take part in everything that they're doing and still have and accomplish things that I want to accomplish, challenge myself in TV, be able to speak to different organizations, do things with my charity, do different campaigns like this that I really think can make a difference and can save lives for a lot of people.
Absolutely, Ed. So, GJ, you two definitely have promoting health. GJ has a foundation as well, Kurt. And G, you could speak about that for a second, and then we can learn a little bit about Kurt's.
Well, obviously, we started the Mission G Foundation, and, you know, basically tackling childhood obesity is a main focus, and I'm a former veteran and helping, you know, veterans transition from the military, and that's our core focus. And obviously, we get in partnership with other foundations that, you know, because obviously, you know, we meet great people like yourself, and you got a great cause. You know, hey, if we can help spread the word, we're always willing to do that. So that's something that we do. And you can go to missiong.org to learn more about that. Well, yeah, we also have another thing coming. You got seven kids, and I got seven kids. So we got a lot.
Oh, wow.
And
that's Neil's awesome.
And Neil's not too far behind.
I got five. Yeah, I have five.
Wow. You don't find that very often. You don't find seven. Man, 12 between you. That's pretty awesome. It makes life pretty fun. It makes it busy, but it makes it fun.
Your household's got to be crazy, Kurt, right?
All the time. But that's what makes it great. I mean, it gives you something to live for, you know, to watch your kids. And so much more fun. I mean, as much as I accomplished on the field, I have more fun and get more enjoyment out of watching my kids compete and do their things than anything I did. And so it's just, I don't know what people would do without having a bunch of kids to chase after and figure out what you're going to do next.
All right. Well, Kurt, I know that we're definitely coming close to running out of time, but where can we find information, first of all, also on your foundation as well, so our listeners can donate and, again, continue to promote First and Goal, all the different places we can find you?
You know, my foundation is just at kurtwarner.org on the internet. You can find out all the different things that we're doing. We got a lot of great programs that we're still running there. And then information on this. And again, I want everybody to jump on this website and just check it out and take the easy steps to, you know, the first steps to get into the game. But you can go to firstandgoalhearthealth.com. And there's all kinds of great information there. There's tips there. There's even, you know, a savings card there for those of you that say, well, I'm not going to be able to afford the medication to help make it more affordable. We just think this is such a huge issue and such an important issue that everybody needs to jump on that website and check it out.
Well, fantastic, Kurt. We'll hope to have you back to give us an update of how things are going with the National Education Initiative and also anything with your foundation or updates with the NFL Network. So I appreciate you calling, and it's great to have another man of faith on the show, and what you're truly doing, a tremendous role model for men of faith, and keep up that great work and keep helping others. So thanks again for calling, Kurt.
You bet, man. Great to talk to both you guys, and keep up what you're doing as well.
All right, God bless. Take care, Kurt. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Kurt.
All right, you're listening to Told to the Simply G Media Network on the Simply G Radio Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I'm really excited to welcome back to the program from the Real Housewives of Miami, Leah Black. And Leah, thanks for calling. And I know that you had a really, really good event that helped raise money.
I hope so. We're still organizing it. We have the aftermath now. Delivering the auction items, collecting the rest of the money, you know, organizing the files. It's a big thing. It takes about two or three weeks of aftermath to clean up. But, yeah, it went great. We had fun. Everybody had a good time. And you know, hopefully we made a lot of money. We'll see.
All right, so tell us about the event, and then I want to go into some of your upcoming projects after that. But everyone likes to hear about, you know, you did the whole red carpet and all the different things. How did everything go? And I guess the process of planning it, because I remember we were talking, you were still in the final stages of planning. Well, and all that.
Yeah, you know, it takes really it takes months to plan it normally, but this year, because we weren't able to secure the talent until about 7 or 8 weeks out, we really rushed it, and we just got lucky. We were able to just make it happen by really killing ourselves. So we spent months looking and digging for talent, but you know, it wasn't. We weren't able to secure it. And so once you until you secure the talent, you can't put the invitations, you can't put out the save the date, you can't organize the donors or the auction items because everybody wants to know when and where. So that kind of put us a little bit behind the gun, but, you know, we were able to pull it off. It's basically Jason and I, and then one time out of the year we hire maybe someone for like maybe $8 or $10 an hour to help us sort through all the millions of phone calls that come in the email and the files and keeping the auction items straight. But it's really just the two of us year-round, so it's a major undertaking.
So all that planning, and then finally the event comes. I remember seeing you tweet out. You were, like, really pleased it was happening. You said, finally, we're here. Finally, we're here,
and it was great. And we had, by the way, I mean, huge amounts of you know, press. I mean, the press was national and international and print and television and magazine. So we got a huge amount of press. And, you know, everything really went flawless. I mean, Flo Rida was amazing. He performed for a full, I mean, probably close, maybe an hour. And he jumped off the stage and ran around in the audience and put people on his shoulders. And, I mean, he really put on the show. And before that, we had Taylor Hicks, who, you know, he was one of the first winners of American Idol. And he's just signed on in at the Hotel Paris in Las Vegas for a permanent gig there. And he was amazing for the dinner music. And he played the harmonica and he sang and, you know, he did a little country, did a little blues. He did a little bit of everything. And then we had this guy called Whiskas, who's, I mean, he's a DJ and a light guy, but he's more than that. I mean, he performs in huge, massive stadiums with, you know, 10 feet kind of, big plastic people that are with all lights flashing all throughout them, dancing around the room and lights and sound and DJ music. And that went on until, I guess, after one. So, you know, we had a packed house and probably 20 live auction items, over 100 and something silent auction items. And, you know, it was a great night, and we're glad that it's over. And let me make that very clear. We're very glad we're finished, survived another one.
And then we'll have to talk about the aftermath, which you talked about, then having to look at all the different money you raised, how the total of the expenses of putting on the event and all that stuff. But who were the who's who that came to the event, that came to visit to see?
Oh, my goodness. Let me think. Jason, who came? My mind is blank. Dennis Rodman came, and Sammy Sosa, Bernard Hopkins. They both are big athletes, and most of the housewives. And then what? Burn Notice, Gabrielle Anwar, and my God, I mean, we've lost my thought. I mean, I can't even recall who came. Oh yeah, Jonathan Chabin. It's on the Kardashians, and Lance Bass, you know, from NSYNC.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God, I don't even recall. But you know, we had a fun group. You know, politicians, judges, corporate people, Fortune 500 people, everybody.
Well, it sounds like it was like unbelievable. And I'm sure when you had to go meet and greet and talk to all of them, that took a long time. And you said, what happened to my day? Right. You wanted to make sure.
You have the red carpet, which I did for probably an hour and a half. And then I started walking through the cocktail hour where we had Grey Goose, Applied liquor and liquor and more liquor, and the hors d'oeuvres from the hotel, from the Fountain Blue, were amazing. So after walking through that area for a long period of time and greeting everybody, then everyone went into the ballroom, and I tried to make the rounds around the table, but between the fires that there are to put out and the people that you know want their picture taken or want to talk with you, the night goes by pretty fast, and so you know it was pretty crazy. But Dennis, of course, was a big hit because, you know, wherever he goes, craziness goes and press follows. So basically, it was a fun night.
Well, I'm sure Dennis is crazy. Have you ever met Dennis before this event?
We're friends. We go back a long way. Yeah.
Well, I was a huge Dennis Rodman fan, especially when he played for the Pistons then, and things got a... And did you meet him when he started playing for Miami? Is that when you met him, or you knew him before that?
No, I met... Dennis didn't play...
New York. I mean, L.A., I don't know. When he played
for L.A. I knew him way back. I don't even remember how and when. And then, you know, when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he invited us to go, but then we didn't go. But we've been friends for quite a long time. I just find... I kind of person that kind of collects people, and I find him kind of fascinating and interesting. You know, whether you agree with him or you don't agree with him, or you think he's crazy or not, you have to admit he's a fascinating character to watch. You know, so I find him interesting to watch.
I'd love to have an interview with him. What a fun guy he would be to interview, especially I watched him on The Celebrity Apprentice, the last one, and he was definitely did better than the first time for sure. It was
oh my gosh. He's crazy. Yeah, so that was that night, and then you know then a lot of people come in from out of town. So then you know you have the entertaining of the people before and after they leave town, and you know, so it was just kind of one of those crazy weekends that we're still recovering from.
The recovery will continue forever, right, Leah?
Will continue. The recovery continues, absolutely.
So when you're saying the final part is the damage control or whatever after the whole process is done, so you go ahead and then you have to count out all the money that was raised, look at the expenses.
Yeah, we try to count the money. We try to still negotiate prices down of anything we were charged for. The sponsors pay for a lot of it, so sometimes we go back to sponsors and ask for more money, and you know, we still work the deal. I mean, we work at like every single dollar is like our life depends on, because if you don't work it that way, at the end of it, you just don't make any money. Because you know, the charities used to be where everybody wanted to give everything, but now it's become almost a little cottage industry where you know, the hotels make money and the lighting and the sound people make money, and everybody gets in on a little bit of the action. Whereas before, back you know, when I started this 19 years ago, you know, there weren't that many charities, and everybody wanted to do their part. But there's so many charities now that they just can't afford to do their part, you know. So I should have locked them all down on 20-year contracts. Yeah. But I never had any idea I'd be doing this 19 years later, let's be honest. Oh, my God.
Well, it just seems like you're very experienced in this in different ways that you talked about in your background. But now let's go to one thing you were really passionate about. Here's your brand, the Leah Black brand, and your foundation is so important to you and all these things. But now let's talk about specifically the product line we were talking about, and how you were ready to launch a lot of things. How are things going there?
Well, things are going well. You know, I have the world of leahblack.com, and you know, I've been in the beauty business for, oh my gosh, 20 plus years. And I've had infomercials. I've been on HSN. I've had international distribution. I've, you know, worked this business for a very long time. And then when I got married, I kind of took a little bit of a time out. And then I wound up, fast forward a few years later, having a little boy who's now, he just turned 12. And so I didn't work as hard as I used to work. And then I decided, after my son was in school, he's like so busy and my husband's busy, and I thought, you know, I'm doing the charity full time. I should just get back into the skincare and beauty business. So I relaunched my initial skincare line that I've had 20 years, which has still been around, but I really haven't made it a national presence like I used to. And then I just kind of stumbled onto this fabulous handbag plan that I started by making bags or having bags made for myself. And then after that, I decided, you know, if I'm going to jump in the business, I may as well jump in it. So I put the big website up, and we're doing promotions and talking to television networks and things about promoting the line. And, you know, I'll go back and probably do it like I did before in grand style if I don't wear myself out in the meantime.
And because of that experience, you could be very successful in your business then, right? Because you did.
I would think so. You know, I would hope so, because I've done it for so many years, and I know the ins and outs. I know the people. I know the skincare business. You know, we've got the clinical studies. We've got the scientific research. We've got the claims that we can make, and the testimonials, and the befores and the afters, and all the things that that I know how to do. I'm just going to do again, but I'm trying to do it in a leaner, meaner way and not be so labor-intensive like it was before when I would travel 100 or 200,000 miles a year, traveling all over the place and doing appearances and doing seminars and trade shows. I'm trying to do it a little more smart, so I don't have to work quite as hard to get the same results. But it's really more of a movement, really, about women and empowering women and how to help women get where they want to be and stay where they want to be and work smarter and less, you know, hard, and really be all they can be. So, you know, the skincare and the pocketbooks and the jewelry and the things that I sell are just sort of a vehicle to do that, because once you connect with the consumer and you have kind of things in common. You know, they all want the same things. And if you can, through your experience, show them how to get those things and empower them to get those things, it only benefits them and it only benefits you. So why not?
Exactly. So, okay, so that's where we're going there. Any other news to report?
Well, you know, we have our little non-show show that no one knows about going on.
Yes.
And other than that, I would say that's a pretty busy schedule. My son, my husband, the show, the charity, my business, and what else do I have going on, Jason? I don't think he's listening. Nobody ever listens to me.
So you're filming the next year of the show then?
Oh, my book, too. I have my book. Oh, my God, gosh. My book.
That's why we have to have you on monthly, Leah, because there's so many things
to talk
about. I know.
There's too many things.
So I didn't know this. So put me through the loop. There's going to be another season of Real Housewives of Miami then?
Well, they've announced that there's another season.
Congrats.
And
that's great.
They've been doing some filming in Miami, and everyone's optimistic that this is going to be a really big show this year. So we'll see.
Oh, but you can't say anything, because I understand. Let's talk about the book now. When is that coming out?
Well, I wrote this book about 3 years ago, and I called it Leah's Little Black Book, but it's the social lives of Miami and kind of their little dark secrets, but they're camouflaged characters, like, you know, Jackie Collins would do. And a woman from Vanity Fair read it, and she said, oh, my God, it's so Truman Capote-esque in his earlier writings, where everybody's going to want to pretend they're one of these characters in the book, no matter how bad they look. But my reluctance was that people are going to go, oh, my God, is she talking about me? So I'm having it professionally edited right now, and then I'll bring it out after the first of the year.
Well, I'd love to have you back on a monthly basis. There's so much to talk about, Leah. And I already remember after we talked about you know, the whole event and the whole deal, and after I heard all of what happened, that's fantastic. And also, you're still working with your charity, so you have so much going on. And I hear Jason in the background. He's definitely helps you through that process, doesn't he?
Oh, my God. Well, thank you. Jason is amazing. He kind of does everything that I just don't want to do or can't get around to doing. So, yeah, he's great.
Okay, so where can we find information on you, Leah, and learn more about you again so our listeners can find out?
Oh, thank you so much. It's always fun.
What is where can we find websites, all the different things?
The world of LeahBlack.com, and I'm on Leah Black Miami on Twitter, and I do a lot of tweeting. And, you know, we have our offices in downtown Miami, and, you know, we're in lots of stores, and we're having fun with it.
Well, fantastic. I know we're going to get, when I come out to the Miami Book Fair International this year, we're going to have to meet and hang out for sure.
Oh, for sure. My husband's never met a book fair he didn't visit.
Oh,
so we'll definitely see.
We love Miami Book Fair, and we love covering it every year. So, and then we'll hopefully have to say, hey, Leah's book will be out too, so we got to get that at the Miami Book Fair. We'll try to.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hope. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, never, you never know. But good talking to you, and we'll be in touch next month. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. That was Leah Black. You're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Awesome show tonight. Go to TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. I hope everyone has a fantastic week. And we'll talk more next week with some more great education talk on the network.